Thank you, Brother Ed, for helping tonight and leading the service. I really appreciated the work there and the leading of the devotion. Psalm 25 is a favorite psalm of mine as well because, well, it really speaks to the heart of our need and as we express our own soul before Him. So I also say a word of welcome to you tonight and to each one who has gathered out. We're happy that you are here. Some have returned again, and we're always encouraged to see you. And please, if you're viewing on the internet and you have an email that comes up in front of you, send us a little note that we can have a record of your stay with us tonight and perhaps some way we could pray for you. And again, it's good to see Christine with us this evening because she is the daughter of Chris and Hannah. And Christine is going to be traveling back to Winnipeg shortly. She's here, of course, for the funeral of her grandmother. And so we pray for her and the rest of her family and everyone that the Lord will be very near to comfort them at this time. Please also don't forget that there will be a fellowship time after the service tonight. And we hope that you'll be able to stay with us and enjoy each other's company in the things of God. You turn with me, please, in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. And just while you're turning up there, I emphasize also to you, and especially to the young people and the young adults, that this coming Saturday will be a special fellowship to get the youth fellowship and the young adults going again. And so don't miss out on that 5 p.m. a gym fellowship. There'll be pizza provided. And do make the effort, please, to come along and be a part of that. I think you'll really enjoy it on Saturday evening. All right, we're looking at the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been born blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereof I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? And the follow-up would be that he was of God. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. May God bless his word to our heart tonight, please. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we bow in thy presence tonight with joy in our hearts for the privilege of being here in this meeting tonight. This time has been set aside, Father, for the worship of thy name. It has been set aside to praise and give thanks, to hear the scripture read. And now, dear Father, as we look into the word, I pray that it might please thee, Lord, to come with power and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that I might speak tonight as the Lord's messenger in the word of God. And Lord, I'm asking that everyone here, everyone listening to this message, would know their hearts opened, their ears wide, they might receive the word of God. And Father, for any who are still without the Lord Jesus, save them tonight, we pray. Do a convicting and a converting work. So hear us now, we pray, For we ask all these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. A meeting with Christ that changed a life. Have you experienced such a thing tonight? A meeting with Christ that has changed your life. You know, the cause of sickness and disability, the issues of life and death, they have perplexed people for many generations, actually from the beginning of time. They are questions that we want answers for, and yet, you know, all too often, it's not only the wrong answers that are given, but it's the wrong questions that are asked. Here, the disciples of Jesus wanted to know who was responsible for the blindness of this man who, from his birth, had this disability. He could not see. Who did sin, they say, this man or his parents? And the question is actually much more profound than it appears on the surface. For what it does, it delves into the very origin of sin itself in our very first parents, and how sin has been transmitted to all humanity. And then, of course, the issue of the consequences of the sinful behavior that affects so many people. Now, the Savior put their immediate question to rest as he was dealing with this blind man, and for the hardship that he was going through and that he experienced so far in his life, he said that this is not the consequence of the sin of his parents, neither of the sin of this man, but that the works of God might be shown. I want you to stop for a moment and think about that. That this man who was born blind, who had this disability, we don't actually know how old the man is now, but we know this, he is an adult. He is old enough to speak for himself. He was old enough to be out of the home and to be on his own in the streets begging for money and food. And his parents, so much so, are saying, he is old enough, ask of him. He is of age. Was this man in his 20s, in his 30s, perhaps? Though we do not know how old the man was, it was an astounding thing that from his birth, God intended and providentially provided that this man would not be born with sight in the natural sense. That this man was set apart because the convergence of events providentially by God saw that Jesus Christ would be walking in the pathway of this man at that juncture of the life of the Lord, and all planned for the purpose of this, that the wonderful works of God might be made known. Friend, let us never forget that in our lives, there is a sovereign God who is overseeing all things. And far beyond what you and I can perceive, far beyond what we understand, the Lord is at work. And friend, He is at work in your life. And has He been planning something from before you were even born? Some situation in your life that maybe you have prayed to have removed, and God is using that situation for the wonderful works of His name. Such was the case coming across the pathway of this man. And at that time, what the Lord was doing was introducing this great truth where He was declaring, I am the light of the world. And He was going to show and give affirmation to this by bringing this man out of his darkened state physically into being able to see for the first time in his existence. Following the Lord's instruction that He gave to this man after He had made the clay, anointed his eyes, told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, He was able to see for the first time in his life. And my, what a stir this caused in the whole community. This was nothing ordinary. This was nothing that had ever been seen or done before. This type of a miracle. And so, for this man to receive this and be the witness of it, and the people in the community, there was a great stir. Now, immediately, they took him to the Pharisees, who were the ones to judge, actually, was this a bogus event or not? Because as the stir began to go across society, people would immediately know, well, was it really this guy or was it somebody else? They said, well, it looks like him, but we're not quite sure. So what did they do? They have to make sure, is this real or not? They bring him to the judges. And so now these Pharisees are going to examine him and cross-examine and find out what actually has transpired here. And then we're told very clearly, it was on the Sabbath day. And Jesus did many of his miracles, you know, on the Sabbath day, because, of course, he is teaching that it is right and proper to do good and to do necessary and helpful and positive things on the day of God. It is good for us to be engaged in the Lord's work on the Lord's day. And so there was nothing at all wrong from this. Of course, they took it in a completely wrong way because of the legalistic approach that they had to the Word of God and the laws of the Lord, and then adding their own laws on top of that, they made it wrong for any deed of this nature to be done on the Lord's day. They had a very strong bias, of course, and a strong skepticism against the Lord Jesus as it was. They had heard of him doing other miracles, and they had set their target upon him to prove that he was not true. And yet such a miracle the Lord Jesus did, and it validated once more that he was exactly the person whom he said he was. You know, after this intense questioning of the blind man that is now healed, what did they do? Well, they went, examined the parents, examined him again, and then they were grieved to their heart when this man, who was a simple man to them, one whom they said, you're born in sin. Well, who did they think they were? Did they think they were not born in sin? Maybe they were accusing him of being born of immorality. Maybe they accused this blind man of the same thing that they accused Christ of. We be not born of fornication like you are. They accused him of a great injustice. This blind man had a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ that changed his life. And friends, I want us to think about that tonight. And I ask you that question again. Have you met the Lord? What impact has it had upon your life? Would you notice, please, with me, first of all, that this was an undeniable event. We've already looked at the context of this, and we've read through this portion of John 9, and what an account it is. From the parents to the community, it was undeniable that the blind man from his birth, that he was this particular character whom the Lord had anointed his eyes, and he went and now is come seeing. The undeniable fact is that not only was he born blind, yes, that's been verified. The parents have acknowledged it. They could not deny it. But what was even now a greater fact was undeniably now this man can see. He now has physical eyesight. A man that would have been born blind, there would have been an impossibility for him to have naturally been able to see. And so when the Lord touched this man and anointed him, he did that which was not definable by science, not definable by any kind of potion or remedy, because that's exactly what a miracle is, friend. It cannot be explained by the natural processes. And the power of God that Jesus displayed at that time, it came to the forefront. No, this was not fake news, but this was real and identifiable. The only thing now in dispute is how he was made to see. And that examination that began by the Pharisees is now continuing. You know, friend, the same thing could be said about you and me here tonight. And though you may not have been born blind, or though you may not have had some serious physical disability, we were born with a crippling disease, and it is the disease of sin. It made us insensitive to God because our soul was dead. And I reminded you this morning as I quoted Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath he made alive, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And so there is no doubt that you and I, born naturally into this world, our minds are closed to God. Our hearts are dead to the Lord. And we are just as if a corpse is lying in a coffin. And when you go up and try to speak or address or cry over that corpse, they do not respond because there is no life in that body. And friend, though you try to speak to someone who has their eyes closed and their mind is closed, they are dead to the spiritually, to the things of God, no matter what happens, you cannot arouse them because this serious infection is called total depravity. And the total depravity of the human heart, it is not something that is simply cultural. People sometimes emphasize or want to say that we have to redeem the culture. We have to redeem the culture of our civilizations. I think you would be far better off to concentrate on the preaching of the gospel to the individuals who have been affected by the curse of total depravity of sin. A culture redeemed is not necessarily a soul redeemed. My friend, let us concentrate upon what the Scripture commands us to, and as we think about what has transpired here in this particular situation. You know, total depravity, it is something that has affected every single human being since the time of the fall of Adam and Eve. And total depravity means that we are totally and completely without response to God in our natural condition. It means that we are totally in opposition and have rejected the God of heaven, and we have gone our own way. Total depravity, it does not mean that all men do exactly the worst that they possibly can do at every moment. And why is that? Because God restrains and holds back the outpouring or the complete manifesting of the wickedness of the heart of man. He restrains that by His common grace. And the common grace of God is across all this country and land of ours to keep the lid on, so to speak, because if God was to withdraw His common restraint, mankind would go into the most wicked depravity almost instantaneously, and there would be mayhem across this globe. Total depravity, it means that man's heart is completely dead. Man is an enemy against the Lord, and there is no seeking of the soul of a deadened heart toward the Lord. We could say that the curse of total depravity, it is a pandemic. It has gone across all of the globe. And the word pandemic, it simply comes from two Greek words. It means all people. And sometimes we use this or have this word when we're thinking about a disease. And if a disease is termed a pandemic disease, it is one whereby its infection and it is its cause or its extent is international. So we have seen some examples of pandemic issues and flus and so on. In 1918, for example, right after World War I, the Spanish flu pandemic was an unusually deadly influenza. And what happened? It affected 500 million people. And of that 500 million people, it went from the Pacific Islands all the way to the Arctic. And it resulted in the death, it's estimated up to 100 million people died from that influenza. It was a pandemic. But my friend, as horrific as that sounds, the pandemic of our sin has not left one human being untouched apart from Christ. That's a shocking reality. The shocking situation that this man found himself in, blind from birth, it was an undeniable event that transpired in his life. And my friend, so what has happened in our life? Well, yes, the curse of this sin of depravity is upon us all. But you know what transpired for us as well, friend, tonight? The same thing that was an undeniable event in the life of that man. Yes, he was blind, but he met Christ. And the undeniable reality was that now he has come seeing. And you and I, if you have had a meeting with Jesus Christ tonight in your own spirit, then my friend, the reality is you have been changed. And you have been changed by the grace of God that has affected you and changed you not just for time but for all eternity. You have been impacted by what Christ has done for you. By His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and by the shedding of His blood, He has washed your sin away. And the Spirit of God has awakened our hearts, and He has brought us to lay hold upon Jesus by faith. And friend, at that moment, when we were converted, our eyes were opened, and we were just like this blind man. We went from a moment of darkness, and all of a sudden it became light. And we went from our moment of spiritual darkness, we were out of Christ, but we were brought into Christ. And in that moment, the light came on in our heart. Oh yes, I know. Not all spiritual things came clear at that moment. We did not become theologians over that moment. There is a growing period. There is a growth in grace. There is a time of learning and developing in all of our Christian lives. But when we have come to that point of being justified before God, that is instantaneous. That is in a moment. And that's what God does for the sinner, friend. And if Christ had not come to bear our sins in His own body on the tree, on the cross, then where would humanity be? You know where we would be? We would be in a lost eternity. We'd be in hell tonight. Because if we had to think of redemption on our own charges, or we had to present our own clean slate before God, we could not do it. No, friend. The undeniable event in the life of many of you here in this congregation tonight is that you have met the Lord. And Christ belongs to you. And it's undeniable in your own witness, and it's undeniable in those that know you around. Because your light is shining, and you have seen the light of God. Would you please notice with me also in this situation, as it confronted this man, it was a life-changing event. More than physical for this man, it was a spiritual thing. The transformation that occurred in his life, he said he was a blind man. He said in verse 38, I believe, and he worshipped Jesus. He said, I believe. You see, the Lord met the man after he had gone through all that interrogation, and the Lord Jesus sought him out and found him. And he said, do you believe on the Son of God? And here is this man in the very infancy of his understanding. Will show me who the Son of God is, and I will believe in him. And Jesus then utters those words, I am he that is speaking to you now. And he said, Lord, I believe. God had already been working in the heart of that man, friend. God had already been doing that work of transformation. And this man who was brought to see the light of the sun was standing in the face of the light of the Son of God. And Jesus, who declared to him, I am the light of the world, this man is looking into the very face of the Son of God, and he is saying, Lord, I believe. This was a life-changing thing for him. So much of religion, you know, and we know, is external, and it's meaningless. Because it is for show, and man thinks that some kind of ceremony or pomp is going to convince God that he is different or better, and the Lord will turn, as we say, a blind eye to sin, turn a blind eye to corruption and deceit. Friend, salvation is never by what we can do. It is not by our works. It is by the grace of the Lord alone. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It is a life-changing meeting with Jesus Christ that has made the difference in you and me tonight. And once we were in the blindness and darkness of our sin, but the Lord has brought us out. He has brought us into his everlasting light. Friend, it's not a temporal thing. Oh, we know that there are still people today who are blind. They do not have their physical sight, but they see the Lord spiritually, and they have eternal sight, and they have eternal life. And though once we were dead in our trespasses and sins, the Lord Jesus has come to us to give us light and life. Friend, if any man, we are told, be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Our brother Ed quoted that verse tonight as well. Are you tonight a new creation in Jesus? Has God done that work in your heart, friend? Have you received the blessing of forgiveness? Do you know that Jesus belongs to you and that you belong to him? Oh, I'm speaking to folks, maybe you've been in the church for some time, but still, it may be that your heart is not right with God. Maybe you're visiting here, maybe you're watching over the internet tonight. I don't know the state of the heart of anyone, but God knows. And the Lord has given this word to you tonight. Is there hope for you? Yes, friend, there is hope. And there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please notice with me, thirdly, that this life-changing event in this man's situation, the event, it led to his rejection by the world. Look at verse 34. It said, they answered and said unto him, that is the Pharisees, thou wast altogether born in sins, fornication perhaps, and dost thou teach us? In other words, we are the teachers, you are the listener. And how dare you come and try to show us the things from the law of God, the Old Testament, the book of Moses? How dare you come and teach us? They were very annoyed and humiliated because this man brought to them truth and they couldn't answer. They did not have an answer. And you know what they did? They cast him out. That's all we're told here. Do you know what that meant? The word to cast out, it means that he was ejected. The stronger form of this, and you will see it in the margin of your Bible as well, it means that they excommunicated him. They kicked him out of the synagogue. Well, of course, his very parents were afraid of that because the Pharisees had already said, if any man declares that this Jesus is the Son of God, if any man declares that he is doing miracles, they're going to get rid of him, kick him out, cast them out. And so here was this man, had gone through all of the deprivation of his life of begging, all of the problems he had had in his whole life of not being able to see. And there was no health care system in those days. That man had to survive by going through an awful life. And so here are the Pharisees in the midst of all this. Where is the mercy and the kindness that is to be found there? No, they said, out. No, friend. When you come to meet the Savior, and you come to declare that He is your Lord, don't expect that the world will give you the check and the okay. Don't expect that the world will all of a sudden receive you and everything's going to be good to carry on as normal. But all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, you can expect this, to suffer persecution. When you come to the Lord Jesus, you will know this, there is a cross that we are to bear. And whatever that cross might be in your life, it may well be different for me. Whatever that cross is, the Lord is saying, don't expect the road to be easy. If you're going to declare your heart for God tonight, and if you're going to come and say, Lord, I believe, then look out. Your life is going to be a life with a challenge. And so it was that this man was rejected by the world, rejected by his own people. He was a Jewish man. The Pharisees were Jews. That didn't matter. He lost the place where he had gone to worship, so to speak, in the synagogue. But you know, when the world and the ungodly and the religious reject, that man was a happy man because he was welcomed by the Savior. And when we are welcomed by God and welcomed into His family, it doesn't matter what comes against us. And I know it's easy to say that. And there are going to be times where you're thinking, wow, the trial is difficult and the burden and the heat of the day is hard. But friend, know this, that Christ is with you in the storm of your life. He is there to be with you and help you. And He will carry us through. Yes, we have felt the rejection of the ungodly at times. We may have even felt the rejection of family and friends at times for your stand for truth and being associated with Christ. We have people in our congregation that have come from other faiths outside of the Christian orbit, we could say, and they have declared themselves followers of Christ, and it has meant that they have lost their wives, their children. They have lost their parents. Because they have said, I want to follow Jesus no matter what. My eyes have now been opened. And friend, there will be a cost of following the Lord. Let's make no mistake about it. Ah, but the cost is nothing compared to the great reward that we have. And do you know what that reward is for us? Yes, it is life and peace here upon earth, but it is of eternal consequences, the reward. And that's what this meeting meant for this man. That's what the meeting with Christ that day meant, that he had now been given eternal life. Never again would this man be blind. He had the light of God shining in his heart, and that light meant that he was healed. I would dare say to you this, that since that man has seen and received the Lord, he would have gladly said, let me go back to my blindness physically so long as I never lose my spiritual sight. Because the one is far greater than the other. To be healed in life, friend, is a good thing. And to enjoy good health is a blessing. But there is something that is so much more stupendous and of a greater importance. And it's the salvation of your soul. The hymn writer said, forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. I share today with our youth Bible class, as we've been studying in 1 John. And there is a verse of Scripture in the second chapter. And it's really in the middle of other teaching, but it's a very precious verse. And he said, and this is the promise that he, God, hath promised us, even eternal life. This is the promise. This is the gift. Even eternal life. You know, when we are overwhelmed by the pressure of life and of all things that come against us, we must step back and view those things in light of all that Christ has done for us. And we must stand back and view that in the light of Calvary. We stand back and view it in the light of the gift of eternal life that he has given to us. And though we are so shallow and unable to comprehend the value of it, yet, friend, we will never die. We are going to be with the Lord forever and forever. The gift of eternal life. Let its truth resonate in your heart. Dwell much upon the great wonder of the gift of God tonight. And believer, rejoice in him. And friend, if you're not walking with God, you professed faith some years ago, but maybe things have been a bit cold. It's time to renew your devotion and heart with Christ. It's time to go on with him. I pray that the Lord will bless your heart tonight and bless this word to you for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that our time tonight before the Word would be of great help to everyone in this meeting house. I am praying, Father, for a deep work of grace among any who are still unsaved. I pray, Lord, that you would work deeply in the hearts of any who are cold. And I ask, dear God, that we all, as we journey together on the road of faith, might walk in the center of thy divine will. And Lord, the great gift that we have been given, we will not barter it away with the tinsel and pleasures of this life. But rather, dear Father, we would see our lives rescued, redeemed for a greater purpose. Help us to see the great picture of eternity and of the building of the Church of Jesus. And Lord, help us to be engaged in that great cause. So part us now in thy fear, and with thy rich and mighty blessing, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.